for online, AskDrBrown.org. Click on the line of fire. I'm reluctant to name names on the radio broadcast unless something happens in a very public way and draws concern. So the service, it's gone viral. Ralph Messer, who refers to himself as Rabbi Ralph Messer, did something at Eddie Long's church. Now, again, when we talk about Eddie Long, there were some very serious allegations brought against him for sexual sin, homosexual acts with young men, with adolescents. And if the charges are true, then obviously you need to step out of ministry, go through a period of true repentance, restoration, make whatever restitution you can. If the charges are not true, then you need to do whatever you can possibly to clear your name, because that name is associated with the name of Jesus. So those are other issues. A ridiculous ceremony, a bogus ceremony, an unscriptural ceremony, and a factually wrong ceremony in terms of things that were given as fact, took place at the church January 29th, led by Ralph Messer. I say to you, sir, it would be far better if you dropped the rabbi title. Far, far better. Bring a lot less reproach to the gospel and put a lot less stumbling blocks in our way as we seek to win Jewish people to Jesus, Yeshua. And I say that as a follower of Jesus, Yeshua, and a Jew for the last 40 years. Now, Eddie Long, on his part, apologized. He said the ceremony was not my suggestion. He wrote this letter to the Anti-Defamation League. He said the ceremony was not my suggestion, nor was it my intent to participate in any ritual that is offensive in any manner to the Jewish community or any group. Furthermore, I sincerely denounce any action that depicts me as a king, for I'm merely just a servant of the Lord. Yeah, the idea you're going to crown somebody, just nonsense, nonsense, nonsense. Any crowns that we have belong at the feet of Jesus. He alone is worthy of being crowned. But the ceremony, it's, I mean, I watched a couple of seconds. Like, what are you talking about? I'm a Jew. I raised in a Jewish home. What are you talking about? What kind of nonsense is this, 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 and this? So let's just listen to some of what happened in the meeting with Ralph Messer. And by the way, rather than apologizing, saying I made all kinds of errors, I just listened to the beginning of an apology made. I'll play, not an apology, an explanation he made. I'll play that clip in a moment. And then you folks listening, they're from his congregation or associated with his ministry, I will put you up first. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Okay, so this is part of the ceremony that he starts to get into.
There are 39 lambskins. By 39 stripes, you're healed. Stop. Every column is called leaves. And according to the book of Revelation...
No, go ahead. You can. Sorry to jump in there, Joey. I was talking over the clip. He's talking about the Torah scroll. We can start at the beginning again. My apologies, Joey. You are so sharp and on top of it that the moment you heard my voice interrupting, you thought I was jumping in. So next time you hear my voice, Joey, I will be jumping in. But he's talking about the Torah scroll, which he's holding up, and he's explaining these things, which are bogus with a capital B.
There are 39 lambskins. By 39 stripes, you're healed. Stop. Every column is called leaves. And according to the book of Revelation, the leaves were for the healing of the nations. We as Jews, we come there, we don't even touch it with our hand, we touch it with a finger, the authority of God, only given to one of great authority. 90% of Jews in the world have never even seen, came close, nor touched a scroll, because these are kept in arks behind eternal lights. Tell me.
Okay, I am jumping in this time. Thank you, Joey. Well done. That's all I needed to listen to. And then that he's now being crowned as... I didn't need to listen to anything else. Now, others, Dr. Will Gaffney, she's an associate professor of Hebrew and Bible, not sure where. She wrote an article on Huffington Post with like 27 errors. Then my friend Ron Cantor, based in Israel, he wrote a lengthy piece of messianic response and point by point refuted this. But first thing, that there are 39 lambskins. No, that's actually the wrong number. There's actually more skins involved in making a Torah scroll. That's minor. They're called leaves, and the leaves are for healing. No, the leaves, they're not Torah scroll leaves. They're leaves of a tree. Ezekiel 47 and Revelation 22. Okay, let's just say he's speaking metaphorically. Let's just say that he was just trying to make an edifying point, even though he certainly knows that it's not those leaves that we're talking about. Okay. He says that the scroll is so holy that you only touch it with your finger. No! No! Any 99% of all Jews in the world would know that's not true, unless they were raised outside of a synagogue in some atheist communist country or something. First, you only touch it with your finger. What else are you going to touch it with? Your nose? Your elbow? Your knee? It would be logical to touch it with your finger, but you don't touch it with your finger. That is plain ignorance. That, here, let me say this again. Shall I say it more slowly? That is plain ignorance. Use something in Hebrew that's called a yod. Yod means hand, but it's a scepter. It's a pointer. It's a, you have this thing. It's how do I describe it? It's a pointer. It's beautifully made. It's silver. And you point it at the scroll as you're reading so you can follow along. You don't use your friend. Anybody knows that's ever been around one. Well, then he said, but 90% of Jews have never been around one, touched one. See what? Nonsense! Where does he get that from? Shall I spell it? N-O-N-S-E-N-S-E. Nonsense. Why do I say it? Well, the great, 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 great majority of Jews have been to synagogues in their lives, either raised in a home where you went as a kid, or you go for somebody's bar mitzvah, or something like that. The vast majority of Jews in the world, unless, like I say, you were, say, in the former Soviet Union during atheistic days when synagogues were hard to find or be in, everybody knows about it. That you open the Ark and the Torah scroll is taken out. Everybody sees it. And it's rolled out and then it's read from every week. Oh, and more than that, it's then paraded around the synagogue. And everybody reaches out and touches it. You touch the scroll. This is now it's wrapped up and everything, and it's in its draping over it, and that's what's touched. You don't actually touch the scroll itself, and it comes by, and everybody does it. You take, if a man's wearing the ritual, the tallit, the fringes, he takes them to his lips, kisses it, and touches the scroll, or you take your hand, kiss your fingers, and touch it. Okay. Everybody does it. Everybody knows it. You touch it, kiss your finger. So this is ignorance. And when you hear the explanation, you're not going to believe it. Friends, I want every one of you listening that believes in me being on the air, that believes in my voice being heard, I need you to stand with me. We are little by little moving towards our goal of meeting our radio obligations and being in a position to expand. But we need to hear from you. This is listener supported. If you want us on the air, let us know by calling 1-800-278-9978. If all of you call and do what you can, we'll meet our goal overnight. 1-800-278-9978.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, I've got an honest question for you. Why do we have to get caught up in such silly teaching about Jewish roots? Jewish roots are an essential part of the faith. Jesus, Yeshua, a Jew who came first for the Jews as well as for the Gentiles. All of his first followers Jewish. In fact, if you want to rightly understand the New Testament, you have to put it back in its first century Jewish context as much as possible. There is wonderful life-giving truth to come from teaching Jewish roots, and yet there's so much bizarre out there, sometimes just heretical stuff, otherwise just sensationalistic stuff. Why? What? Why can't we be satisfied with solid meat? Why do we have to get flaky stuff that's worse than junk food, and it's not even true? Why? And why do we tend to go after that? Why is it if you write a book on some weird thing that you're going to get more people to read it than if you write a book on solid meat and potatoes? That's how it seems sometimes. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. And why is it that some Gentiles feel that to be more spiritual, they have to act and look like Jews? Doesn't our spirituality come out of relationship with Jesus? Doesn't our spirituality come out of knowing God as our Father? Doesn't our spirituality come out of being people of the Spirit who love the Word of God and walk in purity and holiness? Doesn't our spirituality come out of relationship as opposed to putting on some outward garments that are not even who we are? Didn't Paul tell the Corinthians, if you're saved, circumcised, don't become uncircumcised? Don't think you have to now become a Gentile to be spiritual or accepted. And if you're saved uncircumcised, don't try to become circumcised. Don't think that you now have to become Jewish. And by becoming Jewish, you now somehow become more spiritual. Aren't we one together in the body? Aren't there, in terms of our relationship with God, aren't there no Jew, Gentile, male, female, slave-free distinctions? Aren't we all one? And then we have unity in our diversity. I'm all for messianic congregations. I'm all for gospel preaching churches. I'm all for groups meeting together. I'm all for Gentiles that feel called to be part of a messianic Jewish congregation and Jews who feel called to be part of a church. We can all have our different expressions, but it's when we try to put on an identity that's not who we are that brings confusion and often backsliding. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. So Bishop Eddie Long, okay, Andrew, do they really call the cloth scroll covering of the Torah scroll foreskin? No, that's one of the many errors. That's one of the many gross, offensive errors on Ralph Messer's presentation. You say, well, why don't you speak more respectfully and call him rabbi? Because I cannot in good conscience call him rabbi. I don't believe he's a rabbi in God's sight. And from the teaching I've heard, I don't believe he knows Hebrew well enough to sit down, open the Hebrew scriptures, and just read and explain what he is reading, let alone rabbinic literature. And why do I say this on national radio? Because of national reproach, with apologies having to be given to the Jewish community, with Messianic Jews in Israel writing their concerns, with Eddie Long himself, who was the subject of this bogus coronation ceremony, apologizing for offending the Jewish community. So I was sent a link. I just watched a part of it. And if any of you feel I'm being unfair, my phone lines are open. And I assure you, as I've done in the past, if you feel I'm being unfair, I will give you a hearing. And I know I'm speaking to people in greater Denver where these things are even more relevant issues. 866-34-TRUTH. But wait till you hear the justification that came for all of these falsehoods that were spoken on the video, for things that are absolutely wrong, untrue, wrong and untrue, allegedly Jewish tradition or Jewish custom. Wait till you hear the explanations. We'll do that when we come back. I just want to pursue this question. Why do we get caught up with this nonsense? What's wrong with the meat and potatoes of the gospel?
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us today on the Line of Fire. Michael Brown asking the question, why do we have to get so caught up with these sensationalistic teachings? I absolutely believe in Jewish roots teaching. If you don't have my book, 60 Questions Christians Ask About Jewish Beliefs and Practices, which answers so many of the major questions you ask about Judaism, why Jews do certain things, what about the kosher laws, what about the clothing and the lifestyle, what about different Jewish groups, denominations, what about Jewish mysticism, how do we relate to Torah today as believers, what about the Jewish background to the New Testament? I answer all these questions in depth. You can get it with free shipping this week or two copies at a discount if you call 1-800-278-9978, 1-800-278-9978. But it's the weird, why do we have to get in the flaky stuff? And let me say this honestly. I talked about this a lot in the first hour. I'm charismatic myself. And often we charismatics get into the flaky stuff more than anybody, especially if, ooh, did you feel that? Ooh, there's an anointing. We sometimes check our brains and the Bible at the door. I'm saying this as an insider. Okay, we can all have our errors. Non-charismatics sometimes can check their heart and spirit at the door as well. But we could all have our issues, all right? But I'm talking candidly in-house to fellow charismatics. And as a Jewish follower of Jesus and a supporter of the Messianic Jewish movement in Israel and in America and worldwide, where Jesus Yeshua is being exalted. But you got this bogus ceremony at Eddie Long's church. Again, it's very sad. I'm sure he's done a lot of good for many people in his community, in Atlanta, in his church, and he stood for many good causes. But when you have major sexual sin charges brought against you, even breaking the law and so on, if he's engaging with minors or whatever the case would be, but certainly abusive sexual relations with other young men, if you're guilty, then obviously you need to step down and go through a period of deep repentance, getting to the roots of the issues. You can be instantly forgiven, but you need to bear fruits worthy of repentance and then go through a process of restoration. Otherwise, the name of the Lord is mocked and dishonored, and we have to be worthy of respect to be in leaders, all right, to serve as leaders. The second thing is, if you're not guilty, then come into the light fully. Don't settle out of court. Complete investigation. I know you may want to make something go away, but if you're not guilty, then let everybody know, no matter how costly it is, so that the name of the Lord is not reproached. So he's apologized, said, I'm a servant of the Lord, I'm no king. I didn't watch the whole ceremony, the thing with Ralph Messer. I didn't watch all of it. There was no need to watch all of it. There was enough error in the first few minutes, and the error gets multiplied with each second that goes on. And then the horrific error, and then defending the Jews, wrapping someone on a Torah scroll, saying there's a custom for it, and then lifting up a man on a throne and making him into a king. A friend said, you know, Eddie Long looked like a deer in the headlights. Like, what in the world's going on? And I guess, how do you stop it in the midst of it? So he's apologized for that, thankfully. But someone sent me a clip that Ralph Messer got up to explain what happened. Said, hey, he never intended to offend the Jewish community. He's hoping for a dialogue with the Jewish community. Yeah, sit down with a bunch of Orthodox, conservative, Reform rabbis and take out the Hebrew scriptures together. Go ahead and do that. Have a nice dialogue. Take out Talmud and rabbinic literature and read it together with this gentleman, Mr. Messer, and let's see how that dialogue goes. But I listened to enough of the clip to hear something that deeply concerned me. This is what he had to say.
But my goal is, I am not there to look for a perfect situation. I'm simply taking, by the power of the living God, under the person who I know is my Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ, along with the teaching and instruction.
By the way,
of God,
let me just jump in there, Joey, and we'll skip to the next clip, okay? When you say Yeshua HaMashiach, that means you don't know Hebrew. It's Mashiach. And certainly, if you've been teaching Torah for decades, you can at least get that pronunciation right. Now, maybe I didn't hear it on the audio clip. Maybe he said it properly. I saw one clip from him a few years ago where he clearly didn't know Hebrew when he quoted the word. Anyone that knows Hebrew would know he didn't know Hebrew. It would be like me saying in English, a priests, a kings, a pastors. In other words, having a singular modifier in front of a plural word. So that was obvious right then and there. So he's saying, hey look, I'm not looking for a perfect situation, but I was going to introduce the 8,000 people in that service to Jewish roots. And I don't know what he taught up to that point, but I imagine it was filled with all kinds of error and misleading statements or erroneous statements, or I don't know where he got some of the things from. It's bizarre. But this is how he justifies the error.
In doing that, if I may say this to my Jewish audience, I could have used Hebrew terms, but these were not people who came from synagogues. Nor were they bar mitzvah or bat mitzvah, nor did they grow up and understand the Jewish community at large. So if I would have spoke Hebrew to them, these are people who are brand new, who did not and don't understand Hebraic terms. They do understand English terms. They do understand Christian New Testament terms. So if I may, and if I've offended you using vernacular, I tried to assimilate the closest terms I could do without having to use all the Hebrew terms. It's not that I never have, or we don't know what those terms are. We are well aware of those terms.
Nonsense. That's the only word I can use. Nonsense. He did not use an English term, vernacular, so as to convey a certain meaning to people that didn't know Hebrew. All of us have to do that all the time. If whatever language you know and you're conveying something to someone that doesn't know the language, we all do that all the time. And especially the more you know, the more able you are to do that. But he didn't do that. He spoke pure error. You know, by saying we just touch the Torah scroll with our finger, whereas we don't touch the Torah scroll with our finger. And one reason would be that, you know, the chemicals on your finger and deterioration of a scroll and so on. We don't do that. He said we only touch it with our finger. It's only one of greater authority. Nonsense to all that statement. That's bogus. Friends, if you're hearing this stuff, it's false. Well, I don't have to study it. You don't have to study it. It's as false as saying that the sun goes around the earth. You know, to say 90% of Jews never seen a Torah scroll. False. False once again. I got into that. Again, there's error after error after error. Factual error. It's not like he used an English term when he could have used the Hebrew because the audience wouldn't have understood. In fact, my take is that the more you're trying to impress your audience, you throw in more Hebrew. And I saw him throw in Hebrew to try to say, hey, we know this, or to make it more appealing. So that... Here, sir, you have an opportunity. You have an opportunity to humble yourself and say, I'm not a rabbi, and I'm not really trained in being able to read the original Hebrew and Aramaic sources. And I got a lot of stuff from pop sources that are obviously not accurate, or people have told me things that they grew up as Jews with and thought that are not accurate. And I don't want to bring reproach to the name of Yeshua. So I am going to sit and learn from some people who can really teach me and get this straight. I believe there's a calling on my life and an anointing on my life, but I'm not anointed to teach Aaron, preach Aaron. So I'm going to sit back and step back so I can get taught these things properly. And I repent for speaking error, and I repent for speaking error as a servant of the Lord. And I repent of crowning a servant of the Lord as a king. That's what should have been done. Instead, we get a lame defense like that. That's a shame. That's a terrible shame. And you've listened to me for years. No, I'm very careful to say things like that. But that is a terrible shame. 866-34-TRUTH. Janice in – all right, we lost Phil, Janice in Philly. Scott in Rutland, Vermont, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown.
Hello.
Quick question. I was curious about some of the Jewish roots. Me as a Messianic Jew – used to say the Shabbat prayer with the candles on the Shabbat,
mm-hmm.
and then after getting saved, realized that the prayer that is recited is actually not in the Torah. And I was just curious how that came to be, how the rabbis came to have that prayer of lighting the candles, and what type of resource could I get that would show me the history of rabbinic Judaism and how that came into...
Okay, so let me just explain this, Scott, to our listeners. When Jews recite a prayer over the lighting of the candles at the Sabbath, they say that God has commanded them to light the candles. And yet that's not a scriptural command. It's one of the so-called seven rabbinic commands, where Judaism believes that God gave the people of Israel a written law and an oral law. And the oral law is passed on through the generations and developed by the different rabbis. And because of that, they say that this is a command that through the rabbis, in that sense, inspired tradition, that we were commanded to do this. So many Messianic Jews still light the candles, but they change the prayer and say that God has commanded us to be a light to the world. He's given Yeshua the light of the world and commanded us to be a light of the world. So hang on. I want to give you two resources, an online article and a book of mine that'll help sort this through. To incorporate tradition as you feel it's worthwhile in your life, if it's not contradictory to Scripture, fine. But it's when it contradicts Scripture, we have to step back and ask a question.
Flame, send the fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, so Scott in Vermont, let me mention an online paper of mine. If you go to my website, or just go straight to Real Messiah, realmessiah.com, all right? Or from the main website, askdrbrown.org, click on Real Messiah. You'll see that there are different resources. You can watch, you can listen, you could read. So you click under Read, so realmessiah.com, click on Read, and you'll see an article of the place of rabbinic tradition and Messianic Judaism. The place of rabbinic tradition and Messianic Judaism, where I break these things down in terms of what's healthy, what's not, within a Messianic congregation, where rabbinic tradition can be wonderful or neutral, or where it can be detrimental. So that's realmessiah.com. Then click under Read, and it's the place of rabbinic tradition in Messianic Judaism. If you forget any of that, just search for any of the words on the site. You'll find it. Also, Volume 5 of my series, Answering Jewish Objections to Jesus, Volume 5 of Answering Jewish Objections to Jesus deals with the whole development of Jewish tradition and where it is in harmony with Scripture and where it actually goes against Scripture. And it addresses it over several hundred pages in real depth. So Volume 5 of my series on Answering Jewish Objections to Jesus. That article will be straight to the point, deals with your exact question, then Volume 5, the larger issues involved. Hey, got to run, but thanks for the call, Scott. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Can I just tell you what my other concern is, friends? My other concern is that somehow walking with the Lord is not enough. Nancy and I are going on 36 years of marriage, and yeah, we may do special things together. We may, you know, go out. Okay, we haven't gone out for a special dinner. Let's just do that. Or you get some vacation days and do something special. But all I want her is just to be my wife, and she just wants me to be her husband. You know what I'm saying? We don't have to do something special, exotic, different, have the most exotic food sent in for a special meal, or go to this exotic place in the world to just renew our love. No, we love each other. We've made a life commitment to each other. We're best friends. We love each other. And that's what it all comes down to, relationship, and through tough times and good times together, just being the best of friends and loving each other as the first person in one another's lives. Isn't that enough with the Lord and us? I mean, isn't a solid hour of prayer enough, as opposed to you've got to get this esoteric new insight? Isn't just solid study of the Word and getting enriched by the Word and acting on what it says enough? Why do we have to get caught up with these other things? And I've watched for years people get caught up with secondary things, and then it leads them further and further away from the source of life. The next thing, can't even recognize them spiritually. All right, friends, I want to...